Morning. How are you? Are you well? Are you cold? Not too bad now, but it's been quite cold, eh? I suppose it should be cold. It is winter after all, eh? And God ministers in seasons. And as long as the earth remains, these seasons will carry on. And many times in our lives, we go through seasons. And sometimes we argue with God when it's winter. Spiritually, when it's winter, everything seems to die. The leaves fall off. There's no fruit on the tree. You get very cold and you say, God, where are you? And you actually spiritually want summer in the winter. Hello? We want to live in a permanent summer spiritually. If you live in a permanent summer, nothing else will live, because after a while, everything dries up because of the heat. So God changes the season so that you may learn and I may learn to appreciate things that happen in our lives. And sometimes, the Bible says there's a time for everything. And then it says, God makes everything beautiful in its own time. So even our sorrow, even the pain, God makes our pain beautiful at the right time. God makes our sorrow beautiful at the right time, because God is a very economical God, and God uses everything at His disposal to minister to us and minister through us. So even our brokenness, God uses that at the right time. But there is a time when we go through those seasons that are quite painful. The stormy seasons of life. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 148, that stormy winds can fulfill the word of God. So even the difficulties, even the pain, God works everything to our good according to His purpose, because the purpose of God for your life is eternal. It's not just confined to your lifetime. And so God will use even the failures in our lives to bring about His will in certain moments and time. Hallelujah. And while we're going through a winter right now, many of us in the winter said, God, can you just turn on the sun? Well, you got the wrong prayer. What do you do in the winter? Just hatch down and put some more clothes on and endure the winter, because God is doing a work even at that time. Hallelujah. And the test that God often tests us with is waiting. Do you know waiting is a test? And we want to run ahead and become an apostle and a prophet and an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher tomorrow. We want to be the assistant savior next week. And God wants us to wait, and those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll rise on wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And God does that. You walk, you run, and then you fly. But walking, running, and flying comes from waiting on the Lord. And waiting oftentimes is a test. I mean, Moses wanted to start saving the people when he was in Egypt, the prince in Egypt. But it was another, long time before God sent him back. And many times God will send us back to our failures. You know, he killed a man in Egypt, and then he got kicked out of Egypt, and then God turned up and said, can you go back to Egypt? And he said, where I killed the guy? Yeah, go back there. Hallelujah. We had to deal with a situation in a particular city, and we had to remove a pastor. He wasn't an Assembly of God pastor, it's just a pastor in a particular church. I won't tell you the church. And the church was very angry at me. And even another pastor who came in, and they were going to take me to court for removing the pastor. So this guy came in and said, well, what did he do? And he got the family, trying to get the family to take me to court for removing this guy. and the family of the guy and the lady. And then they found out what happened. And the brother of the lady said, "Who is the guy that came and did this?" He said, "So-and-so said, man, that guy deserves a medal." Hello? But the funny thing is, this guy, and in this particular city, and the church was going through terrible time, and God began to restore him, and we helped with the restoration. And then he said to me, "I want to go back to that city and plant another church. I feel that's what God is saying to me." I said, "Go." Why? Because I God said to Moses, "Go back to where you failed." What happened to David? David failed with a woman. And then they had a beauty contest in Israel, and Abishag was selected to be the most beautiful woman in the whole of Israel. And you know what they did? They put her in bed with David. Read the Bible. Why? Because God sent him back to where he failed. And he never touched that lady. He was the most beautiful, more beautiful than Bathsheba. And God does that. What happened to Abraham? Abraham failed because of a boy. So he slept with Hagar and got a boy. Failed. Wrong plan. It may look good, but the good thing about the tree is what caused us to fall. And many times our good ideas is what caused us to. And so he failed because of a boy. And then when he got a boy, God said, "Kill the boy." God sent him back to where he failed. And God may send you back to where you fail. Hallelujah. Because God wants you to be restored. And the test is waiting. The test is also to go back to where you have fallen. What did he say to the church in Ephesus? Go back to where you've fallen. You've fallen because you are a great church, but you lack love. So go back and do the... Hello? Go back and do what you used to do before, where you failed from. Are you okay? Now, that's a good preaching. I think some of my side sermons are better than my real ones. Hallelujah. Are you okay? So be encouraged, you know. You come to church this morning, where's everybody? I mean, you could shoot, but it's winter, and sometimes when it's winter, people just... trying to stay home and just warm up and watch the game and forget about Jesus. Are you all right? The girls did that presentation for the announcements. That was very good. Give them a hand. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you for praying for us. We ministered at Brethren Conference last week. And the theme of the conference was Acts 1, verse 8. "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and uttermost parts of the earth." Awesome. We had a very good time. We left Palmerston North. We got up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, picked our flight up at 6:25, flew to Sydney at 9 o'clock, got there at about 11:30, 11:45, check into the hotel, then drive 2.5 hours to Wyong, whatever, way out there somewhere, and spoke at the retreat. And after we spoke, we returned to the hotel and got into the hotel at about 12 o'clock, which is 2 o'clock here in the morning. And so we had a good time. Are you all right? And now, after the retreat, we had the conference from Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and it was amazing. It was great. God is good. We've journeyed with that group for many, many years, and the leader of that group and his wife and many of their ministers are now spirit-filled, speaking with other tongues, and so... It's quite unique that in a Brethren church, many people are are moving in the things of the Spirit. They've got a fantastic vision and planted about 20 churches in the last 5 years, and they're looking to planting churches in the next 5-10 years, probably 200 churches. And they planted churches in Papua New Guinea, in India, in Pakistan, in Fiji. So there was a lot of Fijians that came to the conference from West, people from West Papua and India and Kiwis and West New Zealanders. You know where West New Zealanders is? So they came from Australia, all right. So we had a very good time, and the leader of their work rang me and said I had some stuff to do because there's still a small minority that are struggling with the things of the Spirit. And I said, I'm not here to impose my views on you. I'm just here to preach the Bible. If you find anything that I say that's not in the Bible, tell me. But it's from the Bible, and I didn't write the Bible, okay? So it was really, really great, and they were really blessed, and we were refreshed just being there. And thank you very much for your prayers. On Saturday, what did we do on Saturday? We had a break. Did we? What did we do on Saturday? All right. And then Sunday, we had to install a new pastor. Many of you don't know, but we have got 8 Faith City churches in Australia. And they are now 10. But one of their senior pastors was stepping down, and they wanted us to do that because we are the overseer of the churches, all right? So we did that and installed a new pastor, and it was a fantastic time. It was really, really great. I don't know if they were blessed, but I was blessed. We had a really good time. And then we came home on Monday. So thank you for your prayers. We were blessed, and trust that God will reward you for your prayers. And thank you to Pastor Andrew and Wendy for keeping an eye on the church when we're not here. We're not here a lot this year, so we'll be away. Hopefully at the end of July, we will be here on a consistent basis, but we're just in and out all over the place because of what we do. And sometimes we'd like to be home, and sometimes you may think it's unfair on you, but God will make it to us. Amen? God is a good God. Did you want to say something? No? All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's nice to be home. If we disappear again, we'll reappear, okay? The last time we were here, I prayed for some people with bad eyes. Now, are those people here? Is one of those, are there somebody here? Did God do something with your eyes? What's that? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Well, have a look at Philippians chapter 2. And we'll share from there for a little bit. And one of the things that happened, we prayed for quite a number of people. And I woke up on, I think, Friday morning. And I woke up with a word that I had no idea of. I don't even know. It's not an English word. And the word was rumakeo. And so I did not know. But it's been my... So in the evening, I said, I think this word comes from Papua New Guinea, but I don't know. Maybe it's just a word in your language. Maybe it's a name of somebody. I said, the word is rumakeo. I have no idea what it is. Now, I wrote it down to the sound of it, so I know what it is, because I don't know how to write it in their own lingo. But the guy from West Papua said, that is the name of one of the richest families in West Papua. And I said, well, maybe you need to reach out to them and maybe you need to pray for them that they will come to know the Lord and be a blessing to the kingdom. But it was quite interesting. It's nice. Every now and again, God does that. But many times, this is the first time God has given me a name that I don't understand. Many times when God gives me a name, it's a name of somebody that I know. A name that I know. I don't know the person, but I know the name. And but this was the first time I've had a name that I don't even know. Rumakeo. And so it was quite good. It was quite nice. I was really blessed. You've got to Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ. It's hard to grapple with because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. And then it tells us to have that mind, to think like Christ. Are you all right? But because our mind is so carnal, we say, I can't do that. And yet the Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And then he said something, he said, as the rain comes down from heaven and not return, all right, so is my word that goes out of my mouth, it'll not return to me void, it'll accomplish my pleasure and prosper where I send it. And it appears to me that God was saying the rain connects heaven and earth. Even though the heavens is high above the earth, when the rain falls, the rain actually connects heaven and earth. And then he says, the rain is my word. And the word will not return void. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. So it appears to me that from the scriptures, when Paul said, have the mind, have this mind in you that was also in Christ, that it's possible to have an attitude, it's possible to think like God if we think according to the word. He said, we have the mind of Christ in the book of Corinthians. And then he says here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. It's talking about humility. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he says, God the Father and God the Son are not two gods. They are the same. And they are equal. When you say the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, he's not third in rank. Are you all right? There's a saying. Amen. And then he says, even though Christ is God, when he became man, he did not consider himself. It wasn't a competition. But he said, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He did not think it was a competition to be equal with his Father, but he made himself, hallelujah, of no reputation. It's a decision. It's a decision of humility. Are you okay? So he came as in a form of a bondservant, and I'll get to that in a few moments, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. We are talking about obedience. Hallelujah. But he said he made himself as a servant. We've been talking about obedience. Let me give you some things that we've been talking about and then share a little bit more, then we can have a cup of tea. We said that obedience courts the favor of God. That's what we said. All right. We also said that obedience often attracts suffering. And here Jesus obeyed unto the cross. Joseph obeyed. But the cross is not the end. If the cross was the end, he wouldn't be resurrected. But the cross is where our sin is purchased so that we may go on. We often sing the song, "The cross before me, the world behind me." One saint, godly man, said, "The cross behind me, the world before me." He said, "I'm going to the world because the cross has conquered everything. And so from the cross, I go to the world." Many times we sing, "The world is behind me, but the cross is before me." Both perspectives are great. But it's fantastic to have another perspective that I'm going to the world, my commission is to the world, and the cross is before me because I've experienced his cross, and therefore from the cross I go forward. Yeah. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
So he became obedient to the point of death, and we share that obedience attracts suffering. But obedience also brings promotion. Joseph, Daniel, everyone you can name, when after obedience, even though they suffered beyond the lion's den, that man was elevated. Beyond the pit and the prison, Joseph was elevated. And beyond our pain and suffering, God elevates us because our destiny is not the hello? It's not Baca. You understand what I just said? You walk through the valley of Baca and make the valley a well, but you're not going to Baca to camp. You're going to appear before God in Zion. But you walk through the valley of Baca. So you walk through difficulties, but that's not your destiny. But part of your obedience is that you are going to attract some of that stuff. Hallelujah. Obedience brings promotion. Obedience gives you a good name. And that's where many people today have no understanding of, because we lack understanding of biblical respect. You tell kids, why do you have the why? Some people are just running, they're just running to have a bad name. They can't wait to have a bad name. But yet in the scriptures, the reason kids behave is because of their dad. It's the name that they carry. And there are certain cultures where children are taught and instructed, the reason you behave is because of the name that you carry. Hallelujah. If you go to Samoa, Esera is a good name. Not just saying that to them, you know. But there are, you know, the reason you behave, it's because of your father's name. Because of the name that you carry. And because he was obedient unto death in the death of the cross, therefore God has highly exalted, or he's promoted, elevated. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when you go through the scriptures, when Simeon and Levi kill Shechem and the men of the city, Jacob said, "Let's get out of here. You made my name stink in the presence of these people." Why? Because he values that name. Are you all right? And everywhere you go in the East, you will find people that are so kind and so hospitable. And the reason they are is because of what their father said to them. You know, the Bible says, don't be negligible to be hospitable to strangers, because some have entertained angels unaware. Now, who is the guy that entertained angels not knowing that they were angels? Abraham. And the reason is, the reason they are hospitable is because they learned it from their father, and every time they do it, guess who gets the honor? The father. And many times in the book of Proverbs, it tells you, you know, honor your father and mother, and it tells you, father's talking to his sons and talking to his daughters. Bless the Lord. And he says, a wise son will make a glad father. A foolish son is a pain to his mom. But when you obey, it gives you a good name. Hallelujah. And when you look at the life of Jesus, is it the work that I do, I don't do it. My Father in me, he does the work. I came from the Father, and I'm going back to my Father. It's my Father's work. Everything he did, is it, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. So the obedience was to honor and to give his Father a good name. And in return, his Father blessed him and honored him. This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. And then the Bible says this: God does not judge anybody, but he's given judgment to his son, so that everyone can honor and may honor the son the same way they honor his father. As he honored him, his father honored. Hallelujah. As he honors his father honored him. But obedience gives you a good name, and obedience brings respect. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We said that obedience is a manifestation of godly wisdom. On the other hand, godly wisdom is the outworking of obedience. Hallelujah. When you hear and obey, you're a wise master builder that builds his house on the sand. We also said that obedience is a key to the miraculous. And many times the miraculous awaits us and awaits our obedience. If you heard the prophetic word that came about two Sundays ago, if we will just learn to walk into that in obedience, the miraculous awaits Faith City Church. There are miracles happening right now, but greater miracles will come as we walk into it by obedience. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Let me digress for a little bit. We shared on the small groups in the... Can you imagine if everyone in the church belongs to a small group, and those that come into the church are brought into small groups, whatever it looks like? Guess what? This church will be a dynamite. Now, many times people say, shall I go to a small group? Shall I just go to one? Just simple. Just attend one, and if you can't find one to attend, start one. Because as we walk into it by obedience, you have no idea what awaits, the miraculous that awaits. Now, I shared with you about a little small group that I started. Hallelujah. And I started it not because I wanted to start a small. I started it because I saw people that will be, that will feel at home in a small group that don't feel at home in the congregation. So you have to adjust them and walk them through so that they feel at home in the body of a church. And I shared with you, let me share that with you again. I had a Mormon couple that were living together. They're just shacking together. Then I had a couple that he was a boarder in a family and he ran away with the lady of the house. So I've got these two couples. Then I had a friend who's a graduate of a Bible college who was in our church and his girlfriend. And then there was me and my girlfriend. My girlfriend became my wife. His girlfriend became his wife. The couple that was living together, they got saved. They got married. They became elders in a Pentecostal church in Otara. My friend and his girlfriend got married. They're now pastoring in Brisbane. The guy that ran away with the lady, she went back to her home. They when they got saved, she decided to go back, reconcile with her husband. And they became elders of one of the largest churches in that city. Before that, And then I married my girlfriend. And we became pastors in Whanganui, a pastor in Brisbane. The guy that ran away got married, that ran away with that lady, got married. And he too pastored in Brisbane. So the two of them, the two of these couples that were in my home group, pastor in Brisbane, we pastor in Whanganui. One's elder in a big church. The other one's an elder and his wife in a Pentecostal church in Otara. Now, that miracle would never be a story of a miracle if that small group never stopped. Now, what happens if you would just obey what God has given to us as a church? Because many times you don't know the miracle until beyond obedience. Until you obey, you may never know the miracle. That why do we have to do this? Because many times when you start a small group, it intervenes with everything, interferes with everything that you're trying to do. Isn't that right? That's why the Bible says that it attracts suffering when you obey. Because it disrupts everything. But when you obey, it's better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Are you okay? That was a good digression. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. So many times obedience is a key to the miraculous. When the little boy got his lunch robbed by those burly disciples, 5,000 were fed just because the boy released his lunch. Now, for a Maori boy to release his lunch is a miracle. And for a Samoan to go till 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening without eating his lunch, that's a greater miracle. But when he gave his lunch to the one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, a miraculous thing occurred. That what left was left after the miracle was greater than what they began with. Hallelujah. Just because somebody was obedient to give what he had. And then we said obedience will keep you safe from deception. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Hallelujah. Obedience will keep you safe from spiritual imitation. We read about Saul, and the Bible says God was sorry. Now, for God to regret what God decided to do is an amazing concept to understand. You say, you mean God? Well, he did it with Saul. And God said, I regret that I ever made Saul king. Now, if you go to the book of Genesis, it says, I repent that I ever made man. Because he looked down and man was so disobedient and it was violent everywhere and violence everywhere. And he said, I repent that I ever made man. Hello? But what was I going to say? I said to you, I'll come back to it. Is this here point? It says, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Why is servanthood so important to God? Why is servanthood so powerful in the concept of us learning to walk with Jesus? When you read the book of Proverbs, it says, it's in a negative context, but it's in a positive context too. It says, the problem with being a servant is that he doesn't answer back. He has no opinion of himself because he's a servant. So everything you tell a servant to do, he has only one answer. Yes, sir. Why? He has no opinion of himself, so everything that the master tells him to do, he will do it. And the Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation and came in the form of a bond servant. Now, what happened to the boy that left home? He left home with the disgrace of his father. He dishonored his father. And what he virtually said is, I wish you were dead so I can get my inheritance. Because no one gets their inheritance unless their father passes away. And here is the boy demanding his inheritance before his father passes. And in a sense, he had a death wish on his father. And when he came back, what did he say? Don't make me a son. Don't make me a servant. Make me a hired servant. You know what Jesus was? A hired servant, a bondservant. Now, we said that Jesus was God, and he is. Yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. We shared that. We don't have to share that again. But the point is, why did he come as a bond servant? Because he made himself of no reputation. Everything he was told, yes, sir, what I do is my father's will. I came to do my father's will. I'm going back to my father where I came from. The work that I do, it's not me that doeth it. It's my father in me that does it. I don't do anything unless I see my father do it. And I don't say anything unless I see my father. He is a man with no reputation, a bondservant, and the reason he servanthood is so powerful in the scriptures is because of obedience. Now, when you get to heaven, what's he going to say? Well done, thou, and servant. If we will just learn to be a servant of one another, if we will just learn to say, yes, sir, how powerful is that going to be? Why? Because of obedience. You know, we are triumphant in the spirit of the servant. We cast out demons in the spirit of the servant. We heal the sick in the spirit of the servant. Why? Because we learn to obey. And then the Bible says, because the servant is so that way, his master will treat him in such a way that sooner or later, the servant to the master becomes like a son. Are you okay? Let me read this to you again. And be found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, in heaven and earth and under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. We don't have to go listen to voices. We can just listen to the Word of God. We don't have to go find out, shall I go to a home group or not? Just find one and belong to it. I talked to a lady one time and she said, Pastor, I was trying to find out if God wanted me to go to church or not. I said, how daft can you be and still breathe? You go to church. Because the Bible tells you to go to church and not neglect the assembly of the saints. Hallelujah. And for you to go and pray and ask God whether you should go to church or not, you might hear a demon spirit tell you not to go. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you and then I'll close. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, now why does he put sin there? And what is the willful sin has to do with what he said? It has to do with the gathering of the saints. Read it again when you go home. All right? Let me read it to you again. 25 and 26, chapter 10, Hebrews. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, and many times, even with the knowledge of the truth, we sin willfully. Now, why is that crucial to God? Because of what happened to Saul. See, you can sin and not know why. But when you know the reason why and still sin, it comes two different concepts. If I sin without knowing, and all of us do, what is that? It's called disobedience. But when I sin and know that I'm sinning, I know what the right thing to do. As James said, knowing what to do and doing it not is sin. What is that? That is called rebellion. And rebellion is witchcraft. Why? Because you actually choose to follow another spirit instead of the spirit of God. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you sense in your own heart that what we shared this morning affects you, I want you to stand to your feet because I want to pray for us.
Hallelujah.
Father, we want to honor your name. We want the name of Jesus Christ to be honored. And many times your name is dishonored in your church because we just do what we want to do. We ask, Lord God, that you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us from our disobedience. And cleanse us, Lord God, from rebellion. When we turn away from you and the guidance of your Spirit to follow our own path or to follow a stranger. Your sheep hear your voice and you open the gateway to them. They can come in and go out. They find green pastures. They eat and they drink and are satisfied. I pray, dear God, as we stand before you with these ones standing, and I stand with them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, as your children, that, Lord, like servants that will not answer back, that we will learn to walk in the light, Lord God, of your countenance, in the light of obedience, Lord God, to your word, to the vision of this church, Lord God, that in the end we might see the miraculous, Lord God, happen in and through our lives. The many things that we long for could happen if we will just walk in obedience. Father, I pray that your hand will rest powerfully upon us and all of us as a congregation, as a church. And Lord, that we will walk into those things that you have instructed us about. And in doing so, Lord God, be influential in touching lives and ministering, Lord God, to our families and communities. For the glory of your name, we honor you today. You are a great God. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. And everyone say, Amen. Amen.